السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين، فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين. فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون، الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters listening in at the madrasa and over receivers, coming here with an absolutely blank mind, making dua, Allah Ta'ala must put some mazmoon into my mind. So this surah, which we have been listening to many, many times, and practically all of us have read it, we do not know how many hundred times in our sunnat namazes, farz namazes, in our witr namaz, and so many other salats, because it is one of those surahs which little children are also made to learn in their early days at the madrasa and the maktab. So we have heard, we have read many, many times this surah. But as I have mentioned many times, that these surahs which we recite, we don't ponder, we don't reflect. These surahs, they shook the hearts of the believers in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. It changed the lives of believers. It changed the lives of even the kuffar. So many of them accepted Islam when the same verses of the Quran Sharif were recited. So many verses of the Quran Sharif, when they were recited, people accepted Islam. And we listen to those verses, nothing happens. So this surah here, which is called Suratul Ma'un, it is the 107th surah of the Quran Sharif. In the Quran Sharif, it is the 107th surah. But with regards to its nuzul, if I recall correctly, with regards to its nuzul, that when did it come down? It is the 14th surah. We know the first verses of the Quran Sharif which were revealed were surah of the Iqra bismi rabbikal ladhi khalaq. But when we recite the Quran Sharif, we recite from Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So one was the nuzul of that surah, when did it take place? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he instructed the scribes that this surah must be placed at a certain chapter, and there is whole detail there in tafsir, I'm not going into those details. So 13 surahs were revealed, and after that was this surah. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam is being told by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. In this surah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got 7 ayat. There are 25 words and 125 letters. Now imagine, every little thing has been recorded. Can anybody produce any scripture other than the Quran Sharif where you have such kind of recording of letters, of alphabets, of words, of verses? Every syllable, everything has been recorded. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed this verse. And in this verse, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen the person who rejects, who denies the day of judgment? Do you see that person? Now there are different things that have been mentioned, but something that comes to mind is that Abu Jahl, the arch enemy of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he used to see somebody on the throes of death, the person is in Sakrat. So he used to go and visit that person. And he used to go and tell him that, look, I am a prominent person of this town, of Makkah Mukarramah, and I am in leadership position, and I am very, very trustworthy, and your children are going to be orphans after you go, and you've got so much of wealth, property. So he used to go and visit the person that was rich and had plenty of wealth and had children. So then he said, now all these things, if you're going to leave it to the heirs, they are going to squander it, they're going to devour it. You cannot trust anybody these days. So you rather give it to me. I will make sure that I will take care of your children and also of the trust. So they used to give it to him. As soon as that person is dead and gone, then he usurps that property, and he is to be very, very harsh with those orphans, and he is to push them out. He is to take those orphans out. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that, did you see, referring to this particular incident, if it was the shan of Nuzul, but that it doesn't mean that it was only for that, it is for all times and all ages. So one yatim child like that came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And he came and complained that this is what has happened. My father left behind everything. Now this is Abu Jahl, this is what he has done. So Rasul-e Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, who was himself a yatim, born a yatim. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself was born a yatim. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also in the Quran Sharif, he mentions in Surah Wadduha, where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Alam yajidaka yatiman fa'awa. Did we not find you an orphan child and we gave you shelter? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he had this soft heart, compassion, love for those who were orphans. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went to Abu Jahl and he tried to explain to him that what you are doing is wrong and you must believe in the day of judgment. There will be a day of judgment where you will have to answer for whatever you are doing. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to question you for your actions and deeds. So he denied. He said, there's no such thing as day of judgment. There's no such thing as a day of judgment. After you turn to dust, then that's the end of the world. At the end of life, there's no such thing as day of judgment. So therefore Allah ta'ala says, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. That the person who rejects Yawmuddin. And this is what we forget to understand, that Yawmuddin, the day of judgment, it is such a belief of a Muslim, and I've mentioned this many times, that the Muslim does not require any police force. His belief in this day of judgment is sufficient to restrain him from all haram and all forbidden things. He just needs that firm conviction and belief, not just the knowledge of the day of judgment. Now there was total rejection of the day of judgment. Abu Jahl and party, they totally rejected it. There was no question of belief in the day of judgment. So therefore they will remain in hellfire forever and ever because of their complete rejection of the day of judgment. But then when it comes to the believers, then we may not say it openly that we don't believe in the day of judgment. But if someone has to look at our actions, the way we steal and the way we gamble and the way we go to the rave clubs and discos and the way we go to the prostitute quarters and the way Muslims run the cinemas and theaters and discos and the way Muslims indulge in adultery and fornication and the way Muslims indulge in all kinds of sins and vices, and the way the large percentage of the Muslim Ummah sleeps, Fajr time and Isha time and all other times the namazes are neglected. So if we look at our lifestyles, it indicates that we do not have that kind of belief in the day of judgment. We have the knowledge that there is such a thing as day of judgment, but our iman is also just like that. So this Muslim will not remain forever in the fire of Jahannam because of that belief that he has that there is a day of judgment. But because of his actions, he will have to burn in the fire of Jahannam. But the person who has got a conviction, he's got a yaqeen that there is a day of judgment, then no temptation, accidentally once in a while the person may fall for some temptation, but otherwise it's going to restrain him. So all those who are complaining, we just cannot give up this sin, we just cannot give up that sin, It shows that we do not believe, we do not have that conviction that there is a day of judgment. Because this world is not a world in which a person is fully rewarded for his good deeds or fully punished for his evil action. This world is not that world. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got the sun for everybody, the moon for everybody, the waters of the ocean for everybody, the jungles, the forests, the animals, everything is for everybody. Everybody enjoys the benefits of oxygen and nitrogen and hydrogen and whatever Allah ta'ala has created. It's for everyone, the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the yahood, the nasara, the believers. So it is the day of judgment. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam cried the whole night when he read the ayat, وَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمُ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. Whole night he teared, just reciting this one ayat, that separate today. On the day of Qiyamah, the good, the bad, the kuffar, the disbelievers and the believers, they will be separated. So that is the day, that yawm me jaza, or it is the yawmuddin. It is the day when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will decide. He is going to be the judge. He is the, in fact, in the very first surah, in suratul Fatiha, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Maliki yawmuddin, master of the day of judgment. Yaslawnaha yawmuddin. وَمَا هُمْ عَنْهَا بِغَائِبِينَ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينَ ثُمَّ مَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينَ. Now what is all that? There's no time to go into tafsir. But everywhere we are being told about this يَوْمُ الدِّينَ, the day of judgment. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on that day will decide. All our actions will be presented before us. This is what we did, you did, and now this is the decision. So therefore this Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that this person who is rejecting Yawmuddin, أَرُعَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. أَرُعَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَى طُعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. So that was the first thing, that they rejected the Yawmuddin. Complete rejection. And once the person rejects the day of judgment, then there is nothing that can control that person anymore. Now you can have a whole police force. If this person can escape the sight of the police, then he will do anything. Because there's nothing. Which break has he got now? There's no such thing as day of judgment. So you can steal, you can gamble, you can do anything. This is where all other religions fail. Although it was a common teaching of all the prophets, belief in the day of judgment. But when people start changing the deen, the first thing that they took away was that day of judgment. Because they wanted freedom to do anything and everything, so they took away that. The iman on Yawmuddin became extremely weak. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that, did you see this person? Do you see such person? Now who is that person? Who are those people that rejects the day of judgment? What are their characteristics? How will you recognize them? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that they are those, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمِ. They push out the orphan. Orphan children, we must not always think of those who are in Darul Yatamas or in homes for the orphans or orphanages. Many times I've explained this, that sometimes a rich person also can pass away and leave behind orphan children and leave behind properties. And people who are in charge of those estates, of those trusts, they betray the trust, and so many properties of orphans have been devoured. Or the orphans have been treated very, very harshly in such homes. So it's not only those who are in homes. We must look in our homes. We must look in our family's homes, in our brothers and sisters' homes. So many orphans there are. And then, of course, orphans in general, wherever they may be. So to be harsh, or to think that who is going to ask us any questions? These orphan children, what do they know? What their father left behind? So they push them out. يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. They repulse the orphans. So that is one of the characteristics of those people, because it was that incident, that if that was the Shani Nuzul, so because of that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says this is one of the characteristics. Yadu'u al-yateen. Wala yahuddu ala tu'am al-miskeen. And they don't encourage people to feed the masakeen. Feeding of the masakeen, the poor, the needy, the indigent, they don't even do it themselves, and they don't even encourage others that you must feed the poor, clothe them, take care of their needs, spend on them. They don't even encourage that. So what kind of a person is that he's neither giving himself, and nor is he encouraging others that they should be spending on the poor, on the needy, on the orphans, on the destitute. So the person is a kanjus makkichus himself, and is making everybody else also become kanjus makkichus. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says they don't even encourage that. So whereas they themselves should have been giving, but they don't do that. And they don't encourage others to. وَلَا يَحُدُّ وَلَا تُعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. But then after that, something that's applicable to all of us. Although these verses were revealed, they say the first part was for the kuffar, and the second part was for the munafiqeen in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the general application of these verses for all times till the day of Qiyamah, it is for everyone. We have to take lessons from it. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Woe to those who are worshippers, those who are praying, those who are making salat. What kind of salat do they make? فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Hazrat Atta radiallahu ta'ala, he says, Hazrat Atta rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that if only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had revealed فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ, it would have been very, very difficult for the ummah. Lucky Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, out of his ihsan and fazal, he revealed an salatihim, that they are negligent in their salat, of their salat. One is in salat and one is off salat. If it had been in salat, then which one of us would have really passed the test that when we are making salat, then we have got full realization and consciousness that we are standing before our Creator, Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That it is salat that we are performing. And there's khushu in that salat, there's humility, there's khuzu in that salat, this complete devotion, complete commitment to that salat, we wouldn't have been able to do it. So therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala said, an salati, of the salat they are negligent. So here again there's lessons that how many of us, how much of negligence we show when it comes to salat. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, he said, that person, he is a munafiq, that he waits for the sun to set, or it's just when it's just about to set, he delays his salat, when it's just about to set, then before that, he makes four rakat salat, in which way? Just like how the rooster pecks from the ground four times. Like that this person makes his four rakat asar, and it's all over. Now if you have to look during the winter months, go to the masajid and see what happens. If asar namaz is at 5 past 5, 10 past 5, what time do the large percentage of the business people make the salat? Just 5 minutes before Maghrib, 10 minutes before Maghrib, and sometimes in the masjid, front of everybody, which is a display also, that I don't care, I'm negligent. So what does it matter? If the person was delayed for some reason or the other, or if he was negligent, then at least don't make a display of that. But in the masjid, they will come when the whole congregation is ready for Maghrib salat, then they will be making their Asr salat. And not one day, accidentally one day if it happens, it's understandable. But here every day the person is negligent. And he is making the salat exactly at that time. Clearly displaying his negligence. So how much of negligence is being shown when it comes to this salat? So some are negligent for Asr, some of Zohar, some of Maghrib, some of Isha, some of Fajr. And especially Fajr, then it is as if it is a norm of the society that we should be sleeping at the time of Fajr. Exceptions to the rule you will get. Some people will be making salat. There is one town that I visit, over the years that I have been visiting, whenever I go there, is the same 10-11 people for Fajr Salat. So that negligence, and then in the salat itself, how much of our negligence? That we aren't concerned. We are scratching our beards and scratching our faces and putting our hats right and thinking of all kinds of things in salat. Thoughts will come, but ignore them completely and get back to salat. That is why we should learn the meanings of these surahs which we recite, so that at least we can concentrate on the meaning. By concentrating on the meaning, the person will keep his mind in salat. So now this is a subject on its own, the negligence in salat. Now this salat which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala declared on Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this is mirajul mu'mineen. Now can that person be really making miraj when his heart is not with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? What kind of miraj is going to get? When the person's heart is not with Allah ta'ala in that salat, his heart is sometime in the football ground, sometime in the cricket ground, sometime in the television screen, sometimes in some sites of the internet, sometimes in his business. One day they say that Imam made a mistake and he forgot completely, or he was in a doubt whether it is 4 rakats or 3 rakats that he made. So when he asked the congregation, not one person could say with confidence that yes, it was 4 or 3, not one. The whole congregation looking at this one, that one. Was it 3? Was it 4? So I think it was 4. That one said, I think it was 3. So then one person said with certainty that it was definitely 3 rakats. So how can you say with so much of certainty that it's 3 rakats? Only one person in the whole congregation. He says, no, I've got 4 shops. And in the 4 rakats, first rakat, then I go 1 shop, second rakat, next shop. Third rakat, I do something for the 3rd shop. But before I could go to the 4th one, Imam made salam. So definitely it must be 3 rakats. So at least he had a good proof that it was 3 rakats. So negligence in salat. Now that kind of salat does not bring those promises. And when the promises are not fulfilled, then we sit and cry. And we say Allah Ta'ala hasn't fulfilled His promises. Allah Ta'ala wants to fulfill the promises. But then what kind of salat are we making? Let's go ahead and complete it. And then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that what they do is that when they are making the salat, it is for show business. Yura'un. Their namaz is for show. There is no ikhlas in that namaz, in other words. And this is just salat that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned here, but then it means in all our ibadat, in our zikr, in our tilawat, in our charities, in every action that we have. There was never in South Africa so much done as is being done today. In South African history, you will never find so many makatib, so many madari, so many darul ulum, so much of work of tabligh and dawat, so much of khanqas. You will not find so much of organizations and associations as you find today. Never in the history of South Africa did we have so much. In fact, there are so many organizations now that there are more organizations than people. If you have to look at the list of organizations, there are so many. For each person, there's one organization now. And each one has got its own infrastructure, and each one has got its own administrative blocks and everything else. So never in the history of South Africa or around the world now was there so much being done in the name of Islam as being done today. And yet it seems as if we haven't taken off. Of course, we must make a lot of shukr to Allah Ta'ala that there's a world of difference from what it was in the past and present. We must make a lot of shukr that now we have so much of dini activities. But when it comes to ikhlas, when it comes to sincerity, but when it comes to ikhlas, then there is a complete lack of ikhlas in the majority of us. In everything we want somehow to be recognized. Name, fame, recognition. That is our objective. In most of our jalsas, in all our juluses and in every program of ours, there must be recognition. People must recognize us. Recognize our piety, recognize our taqwa, recognize our knowledge, recognize us for having given so much of charities, for having done so much of deen work. So much. Now all these type of things, they're killing the spirit of our works. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Shaddad bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, says on one occasion I saw my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam tearing. He was crying. Said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what makes you cry? Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, that I do not fear for my ummah anything more than I fear of shirk. He says, I fear shirk most for my ummah. And he says, I'm not saying that shirk means that they are going to worship idols, or they are going to worship the sun or the moon. He says, but they will make ibadat, divine worship, for show, riya. So he said, that is the shirk that I'm fearing of my ummah. That their divine worship and their ibadat, their zikr, their tilawat, their charities, and all the dini activities, most of it will be for show, riya. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, when he used to relate that hadith of that shaheed on the day of Qiyamah, the first categories of people that will be put into Jahannam, a shaheed, learned person, a scholar, an alim, and the rich person who gave a lot of charities, so he used to fall down unconscious when he used to relate that hadith. Because when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to ask them, each and every one of them will say, Ya Allah, we did it for your pleasure. But then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will say that you didn't do it for my pleasure, you did it so that you may be recognized, that you became a shaheed, so that you may be recognized as a very great philanthropist, very, very charitable person, so that you may be recognized as a great scholar of deen. What kind of waz he used to give, and how beautiful qiraat he used to read, and how much of zikr and tilawat the person used to make. So all those things happen. Now there's nothing for you now in the akhirat, go into Jahannam. Angels will be told, throw them into Jahannam. So if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala out of his own will and decision makes somebody's ibadat, zikr, tilawat, knowledge recognized, then that is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's prerogative. Some people he takes them through that route. So many scholars of ours, so many great worshippers in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so many great mashayikh and great muhaddiseen, mufassireen, they became recognized throughout the world. And so many others didn't become recognized, and yet they were great in their own way. They made so much of namaz and zikr and tilawat and ibadat and gave charities and did so much of things, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala concealed it and kept it for the hereafter. So they didn't go out of their way to go and show people their ibadat or zikr tilawat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made them known so that people may benefit from them. And many a times they announced also. Hazrat Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Alayh, he said, I am being made to say these things which I am saying. It's not that out of pride that they say it, or to for recognition they say it. Hazrat Shah Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, so many things he said also. And so many other mashayikh, why do they say it? So that people do not remain negligent, so that they may go to them and learn, and so that they may find the path to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that is why they announce certain things, that Allah ta'ala gave me this kind of kamal. It's like Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, he said, Ij'alni ala khazainil ard, inni hafizun alim. Ameen. He says, I'm hafiz and ameen. Now he is announcing that I'm Hafiz also and Ameen also. So where there was a need, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made them announce. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made them get recognized. But they did not go out of their way to show or display. So each and every one of us must check our intentions all the time. If a person has started off any his salat, or he has started off some good deed with sincerity, then carry on. Now if shaitan whispers that it's for show, it's for show, it's for show, then ignore it and reject that shaitan, otherwise he'll make you give up that ibadat. So you must not give it up to for the sake of the people, and you must not do it to for the sake of the people. Both is riya. To do it for the sake of the people and to leave it out for the sake of the people, then it shows that person doesn't have Allah Ta'ala in his heart. He's only worried about people all the time. He must do it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. After that, if people watch him and they say that he is showing off or anything, let them say. As long as he is doing it for the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That is all. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that yura'un wa yamna'un al-ma'un. Here ma'un is actually zakat, that they don't give zakat. They hold back the zakat. But the other tafsir which is given is this, that here ma'un means those simple little things which people every day borrow from others. Lend me a cup, lend me a dish, lend me a pot, give me some salt, or lend me your match, or I mean, borrow me your match, or give me a matchstick. Now, little things which people don't even hesitate to give. When a person asks these type of things, you don't hesitate. They take it and go. Don't even bother about returning. So he said, these people who are munafiqeen, they don't even do that. That they are so hard and so difficult. They got no compassion, no mercy, no kindness for the yatim and all the rest of it. But here, even those things which are simple, little, trivial things, even that they withhold. They don't even give that. So let us take a lesson from this, that the next time we read Suratul Ma'un, then we see what is the level of our iman. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and Ummat the tawfiq of amal. Amal se banti hai zindagi, hai jannat bhi, jahannam bhi, khaki apni fitrat mein na nuri hai na nari. Sometimes it is not riya. It is like the fly that is sitting on the mirror. The fly is outside. It's not inside the mirror. But the person that's watching it, he sees like as if the fly is inside the mirror. So those whisperings of shaitan that it's riya, and makes a person give up his ibadat, his zikr, his tilawat. Lots of people say, I was making this ibadat, I was doing some tasbih, I was giving charities, but now after that riya came into my heart, so therefore I gave it up. So now that is also for people's sake. We must do it for Allah Ta'ala and keep on checking our intentions that who am I doing it for. And the moment the nafs gives us the fatwa, our heart gives us the fatwa, that is definitely for sure. So then we must cut it out, irrespective of who is there and who is listening and who is not listening. So especially with those who have got taluk with namaz and masjid and tilawat and qiraat and imamat and khutbas and everything else, and deen work and deeni activities, then we have to be very, very much on guard. Because shaitan keeps on whispering. Do it so that the people recognize you. So that the people may say, wah, wah. People may congratulate you. People will praise you. Now the people, when the person is going to do, then this is what is going to happen. And you cannot even control the thoughts of the people. And that person is so foolish because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if you do it solely for his pleasure, then he will make that person get respect also, honor also, and Allah will make that person's ibadat, zikr, tilawat known in the world. But he must not do it for that reason. So he rather do it for that one Allah. You think he's going to deprive him? Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين يا راحم المساكين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, oh my Kareem Allah, oh my most forgiving Allah, most compassionate Allah. Ah, my Allah, what have we done for your pleasure? Aaj tak teri raza ke khatir humne kya kiya? Ya Allah, whatever ibadat, zikr, tilawat we have done, we have given shaitan a great share of that ibadat, zikr, tilawat. Ya Allah, we haven't been able to do it sincerely for your pleasure. Ya Allah, we have a great deficiency in our ikhlas. But my beloved Allah, our hearts are between your two fingers. You can turn it in whichever direction you wish. Ya Allah, our life which is gone is gone. The life which remains, give us sincerity in all our actions. My beloved Allah, give us sincerity in all our actions. خالص تیری رضا کے خاطر عبادت ذکر تلاوت دین کی خدمت کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما ہم سے راضی ہو جا ہم سے راضی ہو جا ہم سے راضی ہو جا My beloved Allah, we are sinful servants of yours. We are extremely sinful servants of yours. Day and night we use your bounties for your disobedience. ہم گنہگار ہے سیاکار ہے بدکار ہے مجرم ہے خطاکار ہے ہم گندے ہے ناپاک اور نالائق ہم ٹھکرا دینے کے قابل But my beloved Allah, whatever we may be, we are your servants. Where do we go, my Allah? Where do we go? तेरे सिवा हमारा कोई सहारा नहीं, तेरे सिवा कोई हमारा नहीं. Forgive our major sins, our minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of night, sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. My beloved Allah, forgive the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Forgive the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Overlook the weaknesses, the shortcomings and the faults of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Open the doors of your mercy for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems, the trials and the tests. My Allah, you dearly love forgiveness. You dearly love forgiveness. Even if our sins are more than the grains of sand on earth, more than the waves of the waters of the ocean, more than the raindrops that fall from the heavens, your forgiveness is much, much more than that. My beloved Allah, bless us all with good health, spiritual and physical. Those who are in financial difficulties, remove their difficulties. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are sick, Ya Allah, give them complete shifa. Those who are going for Hajj, make it easy for them to accomplish the Hajj and pilgrimage. Ya Allah, remove all obstacles from their path. Ya Allah, unko Hajj maqbool aur mabroor naseeb farma. Oh my beloved Allah, those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. Those who are on journeys, make them reach their destination safely. Those who have passed away, bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. Give their families, their kith and kin, sabr jameel, ajr azim. Oh my beloved Allah, ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai. Ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai. Ek din marna hai. Ha, mere Allah. Ek din hamara janaza chalega. Ya Allah, don't let the angel of death visit us in a disco, cinema, theater, adultery, fornication, prostitute quarters, rave clubs, popping drugs in our mouths, fraud. Ha, jab hamari maut ka waqt aaye to Madina Tayyiba mein hame maut naseeb farma. Bless us with death in Madina Tayyiba. Burial in Jannatul Baqi. Agar waha muqaddar na ho to wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for us. And protect us and the entire ummah from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection. Ya Allah, you are well aware of all the desires, aspirations, wishes that are in the hearts of the people that have raised their hands this part of the night. Ya Allah, fulfill all their good wishes, good desires, and good aspirations. And whatever difficulties, hardships and problems they are facing, you are well aware. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, hardships and problems. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul qaleem wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli 'ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa 'ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله